You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. This is CBS Sports Radio, and you are locked in to the JR Sport Brief show. Thank you oh so much to my main man, Alex and James Boccioni, for helping to make sure that this show runs smooth, helping to put it together. I appreciate y'all. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current one, Rocket can. Happy Monday to you. I can tell you who I really appreciate. It's every single one of you all. The listeners, people tuned in all across North America, thank you very much. You can always listen to every minute, every second on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. You can also listen on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. You can tune in on SiriusXM channel 158. And if you have a smart speaker, ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. I hope you had a tremendous weekend. If you didn't, that sucks, but it's Monday night now. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for the next 4 hours. This is when I get started, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. And if you want to give me a holler, it's real simple. I'm at JR Sport Brief everywhere on social media. It's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it, you can find me there. And if you follow me on social media, you'll already know what the hell we're going to talk about tonight. You'll already know. And if you don't, I might as well fill you in right now. NFL preseason is underway, and we've seen some of the rookie quarterbacks in action. In a few minutes, I want to take a quick walk and review by some of these quarterbacks and, you know, talk about who impressed, who did the best job, who might have a bright future, at least in the immediate future, and we'll get into that. Desmond Ridder and Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett, we'll go there. Brett Favre had an admission last week that is starting to gain steam, no big surprise, and it's a concussion admission. How many concussions has Brett Favre suffered? Couple hundred? No. Hundreds? No. More than 1,000? Maybe. You'll hear it from Brett Favre. Speaking of hearing something, over the weekend, Giannis Antetokounmpo decided to put a minor scare into the fans, or the fans that really love the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis says that maybe one day he plays for the Bulls. We'll get into that. The NBA, it hasn't formally announced its Christmas Day schedule, but we have a better idea of what it might look like. Kevin Durant still doesn't want to play for the Brooklyn Nets, but he did address one rumor that he would potentially retire. He says no. Antonio Brown tells Jerry Jones, "I'm not retired. Call me." Jimmy Garoppolo, the story came out that Jimmy did not want to be called at all in the offseason by the 49ers. And Alex Rodriguez, this man says that he wishes Fernando Tatis Jr. and some of these other young guys would learn from him. We'll get into it. We got a lot to do. James is holding it down on the board. I have a very important question to ask James, and I'm going to do it right now. Mr. Boccioni, how are you?
What's up, JR? Doing well, man. Good to work with you.
Oh, likewise, man. You're a busy guy, huh?
That's nowadays, yeah.
James is a busy guy. And shout outs to James. Shout outs to my main man, Shep, as well. He'll be back with us this week. Now, we talked about, or I just briefly mentioned, the NFL preseason. There's a couple of things that you can get out of it. A day out the house if you actually go to any of these games. Most people are selling their tickets for cheap. This is an opportunity to get out of the house and run away from your family if you want to go see a preseason matchup. It's an opportunity for the guys who will be fighting for a position or just a roster spot to give it their all and just try to be impressive. And then, I guess from a fan's perspective, this is an opportunity for you to look at your incoming players, to get a first look what these rookies look like as pros. And come on, we know this. Even if you're selected in the first round, even if you're a highly touted draft pick, a lot of times you're facing off against the second stringer and the third stringer and some guy who you've never heard of, who in a couple of months is going to be working a desk job just like you and me. And so you can't go too high or you can't go too low when you come into some of these performances. And these performances, basically they're done. We've seen Malik Willis. He helped get things going on Thursday night. The Ravens took on the Titans. The Ravens won 23-10. Who the hell cares? But for a guy drafted out of Liberty University, selected number 86th overall, it took a year and a day after Kenny Pickett was selected to get a quarterback. And Malik Willis ran out there for the Tennessee Titans. There was no Tannehill. What's the point of sending him out there? And Malik, he was 6 of 11 for 107 yards. He had a rushing touchdown. He looked damn good running with the football. But there's so much work that he has to do when it comes down to passing the ball. Too many times where he put his head down and just said, screw throwing the rock, I'm just going to run it. And so even his own head coach, Mike Vrabel, after watching Malik Willis, yeah, you can all be excited about what he did when he actually ran. But when it comes down to his overall decision-making, when to throw and when not to throw and where to throw, Mike Vrabel, he did not pull any punches. Listen.
I need to try to throw the ball when guys are open, be more decisive. So we'll evaluate that. You know, see if there's a timing issue or what's going on. But just wanted to get him out there. I wanted to, see how he responded.
I know you had time.
He did okay. You know, I mean, there were some good plays and obviously some plays that, you know, we're going to have to look at the timing on the release and if we're making the right decisions.
This man is still, he's learning mechanics. He's trying to get it together as an NFL quarterback. Maybe that's why he fell all the way to the third round. They're literally working on his mechanics. What about someone selected higher than him? What about Desmond Ridder? Desmond Ridder went out there and he played on Friday night. Debuted for the Falcons. And he didn't just debut for the Falcons. Desmond Ridder helped them come back and beat the Lions. A 21-yard touchdown with about 90 seconds left to ultimately give them the lead and the victory. Come on now. Desmond Ridder is searching for respect for everything that he did in college. This is not Cincinnati. It's not. And throughout the course of this game, even having some confidence, he's basically going to be Marcus Mariota's backup. And sure, if you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, we know what Marcus Mariota is. You don't know what Desmond Ridder is. Is he going to supplant Marcus Mariota? Is he going to elevate himself into being the future starting quarterback for the Falcons? Who knows? But at least for Friday night in Detroit, not too shabby. 10 of 22, 103 yards. I told you about the game-winning touchdown. He threw two touchdowns overall, and he did not throw an INT. He even rushed for 59 yards. Not too bad. And so thinking about what he's capable of, second-year head coach Arthur Smith, he was impressed in his performance. Take a listen.
I thought Marcus came out, and he was sharp. He really operated, I thought, at a high level. And that was good to see, to take a drive, go all the way down the field and score, you know, match theirs. And then I was proud of Desmond. He came in there, and you want to see these guys how they handle adversity. It wasn't perfect. A lot to learn from, but he kept swinging. And, you know, had some plays. We got caught a break there on one with the penalty. And then, you know, he had a couple drops, but he didn't. That's what I like about him. I like his mindset, and he just found a way to make a play at the end.
Oh, yeah, well, a little understated there. I guess you don't want to give the rookie too much credit. You don't want to do that. And then you had somebody else. He was the first quarterback selected in the draft earlier this year. This man, pardon the pun, he was picked apart because of the size of his hands. Whose hands are too small? How's he going to throw the football with tiny hands? Oh, he's doing hand stretch exercises. It's Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett played as well over the weekend on Friday, and on Saturday, and Kenny Pickett, he didn't just go out there. He did the same thing that Ritter did. Kenny Pickett led a game-winning drive for the Steelers to beat the Seahawks. He was almost perfect. 13 of 15 passes, 95 yards, 2 TDs, 0 INTs. He played the entire second half after Mitch Trubisky went out there along with Mason Rudolph, and he helped them win. 24-yard touchdown pass with 3 seconds left in the game. Not too shabby for a guy who is trying to replace Ben Roethlisberger. It's always great to hear Mike Tomlin speak, and this is what he had to say about his rookie.
You know, he moved his group. He played situational football. He displayed a competitive spirit. A lot of good things to build on from a first performance standpoint.
Not too shabby. And we know this. Mitch Trubisky is going to start. He's going to start until he sucks or he gets hurt, and then you'll have to look at what Mason does. But Kenny Pickett, they didn't select him at number 20 out of Pittsburgh just to sit on the bench and be a mascot. They selected this man at number 20 to ultimately go out there and hopefully play. Malik Willis, he was taken in the third round, less strings attached, but you don't think it'd be a beautiful thing in Tennessee if he eventually supplanted Ryan Tannehill, and it may take an entire year. And then you have Desmond Ridder, also a third rounder out of Cincinnati. There's not a damn thing exciting about Marcus Mariota. It's basically a placeholder. Marcus Mariota is a placeholder until the Falcons can actually pick up their next full-time starting quarterback. Is that going to be Desmond Ridder? Is he going to get a chance or an opportunity? Is Marcus Mariota going to stay healthy? We don't know that. And so here you have three quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks, trying to make their mark in the NFL, trying to get things started. And this is a difficult choice, because none of these guys are like world changers or game changers. None of these guys have come in as highly touted. None of these quarterbacks have been looked upon to be the next best thing. None of them will probably even get a chance to start right out of the box this season. And so typically when you could look at quarterbacks and say, that's the guy, there's no Trevor Lawrence in this group. And Trevor Lawrence trying to make some major moves in his second year. Especially now that his old head coach is not coaching the team anymore. It's Urban Meyer. Who has the best chance of having success this year? Getting out onto the field. Is it Kenny Pickett battling it out with Mitch Trubisky? Is it Malik Willis playing behind Ryan Tannehill? Is it Desmond Ridder along with Marcus Mariota? There's a couple of things here. I think Malik Willis will see the field. Spot duty. Running situations. Knowing that you need some yards. Mike Vrabel is not an idiot. We will see Malik Willis every now and then just to keep things spicy with that running game that is already crazy with the Tennessee Titans. You got King Henry out there. You might as well throw another dude in the mix. You don't know if they're going to pass, if they're going to throw, if they're going to run. You have no idea. Malik Willis is going to play. Not out of the gate. Desmond Ridder. Marcus Mariota? Is anybody supposed to feel excited about him? Are people running around Atlanta with Mariota jerseys? The answer is no. People would love to see Desmond Ridder supplant him and maybe get a couple of starts in. And then you got Kenny Pickett. I told you, he was taken high. Big expectations for him. It's tough to say, oh, man, we're going to have a career that Ben Roethlisberger had. You're not looking for that. But Kenny Pickett, when is he going to find his way out onto the field? Who knows? I'll tell you this. Who has the best chance of success this year? Malik Willis is gone. He ain't playing a full season unless there's an injury. Not happening. Kenny Pickett is pretty much trying to move Trubisky out the way. And then you have Desmond Ridder competing with Marcus Mariota. This might sound crazy. I think the guy who has the best chance and opportunity is probably Desmond Ridder. Because I don't know if Marcus Mariota can actually stay healthy for an entire season. I don't know if Marcus Mariota is going to be able to go out there and just play all 17 games. And so I want to say it's a coin toss between Kenny Pickett and Ridder. It's really, I believe, going to come down to injury. Is Trubisky going to stink? Is he going to suck that bad that they want to put Kenny Pickett out there and get it over with? I'm not so sure. I also know that the Steelers, they're not a, hey, we're going to just bend over and get beat up organization. That's not how it works. The Falcons are in a full rebuild. The Falcons are in a space where it's just like, man, we might have the weakest roster in the NFL right now. What are we playing for? We drafted Ridder. Let's see what we got sooner than later. And so, yeah, it's only one preseason game. Kenny Pickett, game-winning drive and play. Desmond Ridder, game-winning drive and play. Malik Willis still has some work to do. But by the time we get to week 17, who's going to have the best chance to play? It's probably Desmond Ridder. Who will have the best season? I would say it's Kenny Pickett if he can play. But I'm going to give that to Desmond Ridder as well. It's tough going for these rookies. And none of them named Trevor Lawrence. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The phone lines are open. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. For CBS, there's no Trevor Lawrence in this group. There's not even a Zach Wilson. There's nobody expected just to go out there and start on day one. What quarterback do you think has the best chance to play? And which quarterback, which rookie, do you think will have the best season? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. For CBS. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
God bless, wish you well, and all the best, JR, because you really are my favorite sports DJ on the air.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. That's 855-212-4CBS. To open up the show, we took a look at the rookie quarterbacks, the young guns. Kenny Pickett over the weekend, game-winning drive and touchdown. Desmond Ridder, game-winning drive and touchdown. Malik Willis, not too shabby, showed some electrifying plays, but also showed that he can improve. As a passer, there's room for improvement. On the other end of things, which one of them is going to play? Who's actually going to get a chance and an opportunity knowing that Kenny Pickett is looking at Trubisky, Desmond Ridder is looking at Mariota, and there ain't no doubt Ryan Tannehill is in front of Malik Willis. And I had to mention two names that They got their shot. This was last year. Trevor Lawrence went number one. Zach Wilson went number two. And there's going to be big expectations, at least for both of these guys, to make an impact. Trevor Lawrence had a crap season last year. And why did he? Did you see the circus and the sideshow surrounding him down in Jacksonville? You got a head coach who never had a professional coaching job in his life. People were making fun of him because of how he tried to babysit grown men. And then there was a whole situation where, oh, yeah, he decided to leave the team after a loss, hang out at a bar that he happened to own, and he was hanging out with a woman or young lady who was not his wife. That's Urban Meyer. And that's just the initial story to start. And so now Trevor Lawrence, he has a grown-up and a former NFL player and a former coach and a former quarterback and a Super Bowl champion and Doug Peterson as his coach. And Trevor Lawrence would probably have a great year number two. And good for him. I know he threw a touchdown in their opening, or not their opening, their recent game in the preseason. And then meanwhile, I think New York Jets fans, they're used to this type of pain. We know that Zach Wilson, taking on the Eagles on Friday night, he didn't have the greatest of starts. Zach Wilson's entire offseason into the season, you could say it sucked. The rumors started off after training camp that there are more stories about him breaking up with his girlfriend, hanging out with his mom's friends. There's a whole theme about this in the offseason. Season gets started, the first game of the preseason, I should say. And what happens to Zach Wilson? He goes down to an injury. People are talking about, oh my God, he looked like he tore his ACL. He tries to run around and darts, and instead of running out of bounds, he's trying to juke a guy, and he just goes down into the turf. Not a person touched him. And so basically, New York Jet fans had to wait almost 18 hours to learn that he didn't tear his ACL, but he suffered a bone bruise and a torn meniscus, and that he'll be out 2 to 4 weeks, and he is set to have surgery tomorrow. Zach Wilson suffered a knee injury last season with the New York Jets. And now he's having his knee scoped before the season starts, and we're supposed to expect that his knee's going to hold up for the entire year. I hope so. This is the New York Jets. Bad news is it typically follows them. I don't know what to expect from the guy. The New York Jets selected him at number two. I know they hope that he works out. If he doesn't, people are going to start looking at Joe Douglas and saying, hey, man, how did we do this? Was this necessary? In 13 games last season, and he was better when he came back, 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. All these stories about how Zach Wilson got bigger and stronger. New York Jets got him weapons and Garrett Wilson. Uzama they got from the Bengals. Breece Hall, they drafted him as well. They got him all the weapons in the world. Now he's supposed to go out there and perform, make the most of it. So whether you're drafted at number one or number two overall, it's a hard knock life if you're a quarterback in the NFL. Trying to make an impact is not easy. 855-212-4CBS. Dave is calling from Buffalo. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, appreciate taking my call tonight, man. I think you look at these three quarterbacks, and I think there's no doubt that Desmond Ridder in Atlanta definitely has a good chance to play pretty soon. Because I think Mariota is a guy that's more of a wildcat-type quarterback. I don't view him as a long-term answer, more of a stopgap there. And I think Arthur Smith being, you know, an offensive coach, I think, you know, being a young guy there, I think Atlanta's kind of in a rebuild mode. I think they'll give him a shot because I think Pittsburgh, you know, with Trubisky there, I think they're going to give him every opportunity to play before Pickett really is truly ready, being they're kind of an old-school organization. And I just think Willis, to me, is a year or two away with Tannehill being there. So I think that's the best opportunity for a guy to really get in there of this rookie class right away.
Oh, no, I agree with you, Dave, and I'd take it a step further. You said that Atlanta is kind of in a rebuilding situation? Oh, hell no. Atlanta is in a full-blown rebuilding situation. And shout-outs to all my friends here in Atlanta. Right down the road from me here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they're having the open practice for the fans, and good for them. I think you can get in there for like $5 tonight, and you can watch the Atlanta Falcons play. And Desmond Ridder is out there. Sure, of course. Marcus Mariota is out there. Sure, of course. I'll tell you this much, though. You just heard what Dave said. I agree. Ain't no kind of rebuild. They're rebuilding. They can't come out and say it. But it's obvious as obvious can be. You have a new head coach taking over now in Arthur Smith, moving into his second year. Matt Ryan is out the door. Julio Jones is gone. He's now playing in Tampa after another year away. He was just in Tennessee. This is a full-blown rebuild for the Falcons. And I agree, Desmond Ridder, he's going to get every chance and every opportunity to play. It's a hard-knock life here in the NFL. I mean, there's not a one-size-fits-all scenario. Let's think about some of the most successful quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers had to sit behind Brett Favre for years until they got to the point where it's just like, all right, Brett, you ain't coming back. We're sticking with Aaron. You look at Patrick Mahomes. He had to sit behind Alex Smith, and then he comes out the gate, boom, MVP. Lamar Jackson, he was behind Flacco until the end of the year, and then he got his first full chance and opportunity. He moved. Justin Herbert was not supposed to start. Tyrod Taylor got a needle in the lung, and he lit it up. You want to see your quarterback sooner than later, but the idea that he has to sit down for 2 years and 3 years and 4 years, no. They're drafting you as a rookie, and they're trying to see when they can win with you before you get expensive. It's as simple as that. It's a hard-knock life trying to play in this league, trying to get the opportunity. And speaking of Brett Favre, oh, my God. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers had to sit behind him. But Brett Favre, he ain't playing anymore, but he's doing a lot of talking. He's always talking to somebody with some show or some podcast or SiriusXM or whatever the case might be. But Brett Favre did some talking last week, and this conversation is starting to gain some steam. He talked about his head. He talked about his own mindset. He talked about injuries to his brain. Brett Favre said something that is not surprising, but is very, very concerning. I'm going to tell you about it when we come back on the other side. I'll leave the phone lines open, 855-212-4CBS. It's the JR Sport Brief Show.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, how you doing, man? I appreciate listening to you every night, man, at work, man. It gives me some joy, and I appreciate all your insight.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. It's kind of crazy. We're about to go from one end of the spectrum to the other. You know, we opened up the show tonight talking about all these young quarterbacks in the NFL. Guys who are looking for their start, looking for their opportunity, trying to get going in the NFL. Whether it's second-year players like Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson. You know, by the time we get to December and January, we're going to have a better idea of who they are at this point and what they might be. And then you have incoming rookies, guys like Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett. We just talked about them as well. trying to get started, trying to get their feet wet. And then you have someone who has been in the NFL for approximately 20 years. You have someone who won 3 MVPs. You have someone who is a Super Bowl champion. You have someone who is a Hall of Famer. You have someone like Brett Favre. After going and playing almost 300 consecutive games, which is even crazy to think about at this point, to even say it, at the quarterback position. We know Brett Favre was out there and got his career started with the Falcons, but it really didn't get cracking with the Packers because of his substance abuse issues and painkillers, etc. And then he ended, we know, unfortunately, with the Vikings after a stop with the New York Jets. 297 consecutive starts. Brett Favre was an Iron Man, and we know Brett Favre was running around slinging that rock like he was in the backyard. And we know that Brett Favre could take a licking and keep on going. So let's think about that for a second. You got Trevor Lawrence starting off, and then you got Brett Favre, who basically played forever. I mean, to a certain degree, Brett Favre didn't know when to go away. Is he coming? Is he going? Is he leaving? Is he staying? Is he retiring? Do the Packers still want him? No, we want Aaron. Go that way. Brett Favre played forever. And so, in the meantime, what has Brett Favre been doing? He's been selling you jeans. Brett Favre has been selling you copper fit for your knees. Brett Favre is just, he's a media pundit, and good for him. Pops up on Sirius XM, NFL Radio. He just pops up everywhere, gives his opinions. And why not? Brett Favre is about to be 53 years old. He's a legend. He's living a good life. Well, last week, he spoke to Bubba the Love Sponge. And he just, I'm not going to say he surprised anybody, but the conversation turned towards his health. The conversation turned towards concussions. The conversation moved to Brett Favre. And you played almost 20 years. How many concussions have you had? Are we talking one, two, three, or maybe a few? Brett Favre took it a step further. Bubba the Love Sponge asked him, how many times you got a concussion? How many times do you think? This is what Brett Favre said.
If you'd asked me this 10 years ago how many concussions I've had, I'd have said three. The reason I would have said three, I thought concussions were when you get knocked out, where you black out for a period of time, you don't know where you are, memory loss. Dizzy, you know, a boxer gets knocked out, he tries to get up, his legs rubber. That's a concussion.
Right.
What we now know is concussions happen all the time. So like you get tackled and your head hits the turf and you see the, you know, flashes of light or ringing in your ears, but you're able to play.
Or you get that stinger, that little stinger for 5 or 6 seconds.
That's a concussion. So based on that, thousands had to be, because every time my head hit the turf, there was ringing or stars going, flash bulbs, but I was still able to play. And that's what's kind of frightening about the concussion thing.
Damn. Brett Favre stopped playing football in 2010. It wasn't until about 6 years later where the NFL decided to have like a full concussion protocol. We're talking about the referees being able to go, ah, man, you got to sit down. Knowing that you have to go get checked in the tent if you don't look all the way there. That was after Brett Favre retired. That was after the fact. And I told you about all the games that Brett Favre played in. 297 consecutive starts. That's in the regular season. You can throw in 24 playoff starts. That's 121 games that Brett Favre was out there just being a human pinata, a crash test dummy, getting thrown around by everybody playing up in Green Bay. And I ain't no damn scientist, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm sure when it is freezing cold out there, that getting hit on that grass doesn't feel all that good. Doesn't feel great. I'm not sure that it's going to give. Like this is like a mattress. Like this is the softest turf when it's frozen. And so for all the success that Brett Favre has had, damn it, he might have to pay for it. He might be paying for it right now. He's only 52 years old. He's going to be 53. And you would think, hope, and expect that he has many years of life right in front of him. What is that quality of life actually going to look like? And so if Brett Favre is running around telling everybody that he had thousands of concussions, then I mean, what the hell does this look like for everybody else playing? And sure, there are people who played in eras prior to him. They're still doing okay, relatively speaking. We see guys older than him who are running around and, you know, their cognitive abilities are still there. Sure, well, what about somebody like, I don't know, Terry Bradshaw? We see him every Sunday on Fox. Damn it, we've had Terry Bradshaw right here on the show. Terry Bradshaw is about to be 74 years old. Every now and then, and I've spoken to this man as well, I love him. He's the last New York Jets quarterback. Well, he's basically to win the championship a long-ass time ago, 1969. This is Joe Namath. Joe Namath is 79 years old. Is he out there making as many appearances? No, but he's out there. But to hear Brett Favre say, over the course of 20 years, I've probably had thousands of concussions, that's scary. Please, I'm not trying to sign up for that. I want to ask our main man, hey, James Boccioni, when you heard that, thousands, more than a thousand, I should say, what was the first thing that came to your mind, man?
I think he said it. I think scary is the word that I thought of immediately. I mean, thousands of concussions, that's, you know, and if he's just realizing this now, how many other guys are out there who think that they've suffered thousands of concussions? It's a really scary idea to think about.
It's scary as hell. And, you know, I just mentioned individuals who we see speak. Terry Bradshaw, probably the best example. I mean, I would say he's probably the oldest quarterback that you can look at and see on a full-time basis because of his job. Okay, Tony Romo recently retired relatively young. Tom Brady has a $340, $50 million job waiting on him, and he really doesn't get hit like that. Terry Bradshaw is there every Sunday. He's doing the media rounds every week, just about, feels like. And it's just kind of mind-boggling. Thousands. And so here's the deal. Even though Terry Bradshaw or Tony Romo, I'm sure he's fine, even though we might see and hear from them more often than others, that doesn't mean that they're always good. Like, we don't know what they're experiencing. We don't know what they're going through when the cameras are off. We don't know how they feel when they get up in the morning. And I'm not just talking about physically. We know that the NFL is gonna beat the living hell out of you. There's a reason why Brett Favre is running around selling Copper Fit, so your knees feel better and your back feels better. Damn it, I could probably use some of that Copper Fit from my back right now. But the fact is, we hear so many stories of NFL players who come out publicly every now and then and say, people don't talk about the pain. People don't talk about the injuries. Nobody wants to talk about the negative side effects. Come on, last week, Marshawn Lynch got arrested in Las Vegas. This man played the running back position. He was a bruising back. He might be funny. He might be hilarious. He marches to the beat of his own drum. The man was drunk at 8 o'clock in the morning. He had no wheel on the driver's side of his car. They said he was in and out of sleep. He got hit with a DUI. His lawyer says, no, it was no DUI. But if you saw the man, he had no shoe on and he looked no worse for wear. And I'm sure he has his own issues and problems amongst all of the entertaining and great things that he does for the community. You want to tell me that some of these things aren't as a result of not just his lifestyle, but time in the league? Like, people all over the world, everybody has problems. Everybody has issues. But when it's your job, when one of the hazards of your job is to just repeatedly get hit in the dome, when that's your career, man, we can see some of the results. And they ain't all that pretty. It's not something that I'd sign up for. And so here we have Brett Favre just kind of shocking the living hell out of everybody. More than 1,000 concussions? No thanks. I hope Brett Favre, everything works out for him. That's crazy. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. It makes me even think further than that. Like, how the hell are we going to continue on with this game, the NFL? It has to change, right? I'm going to talk more about this on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.